I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, yeah, am I hosting? I thought you were hosting, JT. But anyway, what have we done?
It's closer to you than me.
In person for the first time in about 2 years, and we can't even get that right. Hello, everybody. It's Wenin here, JT, and it's the SC Report podcast again. The day after Origin. We're not going to talk too much about that, are we?
What? Origin? What's that?
Something happened in the incest pool of Atherton or surrounds.
Oh, Townsville, I think it's recovered. The residents are slowly awaking to the headache of the night before. Not ideal, but you know what? Game one, two to go. One's in Queensland, yeehaw.
Anyway,
just got them where we want them.
Anyway, mate, a little bit different with the sound today. We're using one microphone, so we'll see how that figures itself out, but hopefully it's all good. We used to do this for quite a couple of years anyway, and yeah, we got plenty of complaints for whatever.
We always do.
So what's on the – and no Lamy today as well. I'm gladly welcome back into the podcast for another week. Thank you for having me.
You are. Well, you're doing okay. I think you and I have just skipped Lamy after the last week, the bye week, all important bye week. So I think Lamy is licking his wounds, but raring to go. So he'll be back probably next week, and we'll also see him at Ipswich Cup live in person. In his surrounds, yeah. In his locale.
And the Mooney fans.
Reed Mooney. Poor boy. You've given him the curse. Poor Reed Mooney doing
a lot of
that.
The banner, mate? The banner is on fire.
There you go. Wasn't it Nofo last week?
Nofo last week. Who was before that? I can't remember, but it's been killing it for the past few weeks. Cleary the week before that went quite well. Anyway, let's move along. So we've got a heap to cover on today's podcast. We're going to try and crank this out quite short because it is towards the end of the week. We want to go and have lunch as well.
We do.
And we've got we're getting on the beers at 3 o'clock as well, which is going to be fun.
Merthyr Bowls Club. Shout out. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Okay. So let's run through what we're going to talk to today. We're going to cover very quickly the fallout from Origin, not the scoreline, of course, but the injuries, suspensions, what's happening there. Then we're going to jump into our key discussion points for today, which are around trades. What are the most popular trades at the moment? Who we're trading in and our take on maybe some of the players that are in that list and whether we agree or not with those moves. Then we're going to start to move on to the round 17 planning because that's going to come along very quickly. And Lakey and JT will jump into that in a bit more detail as well over the coming weeks, but that'll be a key focus for the podcast as we move ahead to the next big buy round. Plenty to cover there. So without further ado, JT.
One bit of ado. So Timmy, Sporting Woods.
Sorry, I forgot
podcast.
About this.
Yeah, no, he is a blood scientist by trade, podcaster by night, and he has sent me a message just to say that there is a critical shortage of blood across Australia. So obviously a time of need for a lot of people. You know, the need for blood doesn't stop when COVID arises. So anyone out there that may not have given blood before or may need to go back again, it would be greatly appreciated. Red Cross could do with every bit of donation from yourself that they could get. donateblood.com.au. download download an app. I'll get it up here. The Lifeblood app. So I should give you all the details about where you can go to donate. So great cause. Get amongst it. As Timmy said, it's in dire straits at the minute. So Red Cross, I think you and I haven't given blood before, so you might have to look into it.
I have, but I don't know my blood type. How bad's that?
Yeah, I don't know it either. A+. I don't
anyway,
know.
Well, you know whose blood type we do know? Nathan Cleary is all over the the grass last night. So that was a severe cut to the cheek.
Do you know the best part? I'm watching it at the Caxton Hotel, you know, surrounded by Queenslanders. The morale wasn't very high by the end, but, you know, someone yells out, it's just a popped pimple. Get on with it.
It was actually funny. Lucky that it wasn't his chin because the whole – he could have had the Nile with the – with red is what Moses did at that point in time. It could have been all over the field, covered red, but he looks like he's going to be okay, I reckon. Potentially there's quite a few Panthers players backing up tomorrow night, which is very surprising.
Well, they did say that there could be a chance, but it looks like Brian To'o could move in the hotel room, according to our sources. So his calves, massive as they are, struggle street after all the hit-ups. Nathan Cleary, you wouldn't really want to be risking your star player with any sort of exposed injury like that. But the rest of the crew, yeah, Jerome Luai, he looks like he's good to go. So had a great debut.
So To'o.
That's it. And, yeah, I mean, across the rest of the games as well. So Friday night, you've got a couple of big Supercoach teams. You've got Penrith playing. You've got Manly as well up against the Cows. And Manly, they've had a few contingent in there as well. Big one, big question mark, Tommy Turbo, man of the match, first try scorer, all that sort of stuff. He's unlikely, but still there. Still,
I mean, possible. You and I were talking about this over the last couple of days. Given his hamstring injury and how much Manly rely on him, and also New South Wales, if there was to say, and knock on wood, that he was to get an unfortunate injury or hamstring tomorrow night playing, I mean, does Dez just lose his job? Like, you know, out for a month, 2 months, Manly season down the drain, surely you don't risk it.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, for Manly, they're 6-6, I think, along with us. So it's a pretty crucial game. But again, it's, you know, mid-season, long time to go. Manly looks so good with him. It's basically season over if he's not there. Mm. But, I mean, he pinged his hammy either in the shower or on the course or whatever it was. So, I mean, it can happen at any time. But otherwise, yeah, Dez would be, I'm sure, very cautious with him. So I think we're not likely to see him.
So the other, I guess, news to come out as well, you got a suspension to Fotowaker as well. Looks like 1 week. What's happening with Munster? Anything
it's
there?
Fine. Yeah. No, the beer money at the end of the year will be a little bit lower, but okay. Just fines for him and Kyle Felt.
Well, he needs a week's worth. So
yeah, there you go. He, not great. He needs to come into camp hungover. None of this fresh face and all that. If you saw the difference between his photo last year to this year, that's where our problem starts. So Cam, get on the beers.
Get on the beers. Let's move along to what else is happening there with Queensland. It seems like there's a few sore players rolling around on the flights back from Townsville, and there could be some outs. We'll know that Stilesy, resident late mailman at the site, will be giving us all the news, probably hourly updates, I'd reckon, across the weekend. Much appreciated. So just bear in mind, I think how that applies to Supercoach is that make sure that those players are in your reserves and not in your starting side, because if there's a laid out, don't be left hanging there, even if that means there's some players playing on the Friday and the Saturday night. So there might be a clear replaying on the Friday night, but then you've got maybe Jerome Hughes playing a little bit later in the week. Swap them around now.
Yep.
Do that. Okay, let's jump into the next part of it. Our main discussion points of the week. Let's start with trades. Who are your post-round? Oh, before we get into that, how did you go round 13 and how are you sitting right now?
10:30, something like that. I had a full quota of 17 players, made the trade mid-round to get rid of Tyron Peachy. That kind of worked out. But, yeah, I'd sort of backed it myself in for a big round, didn't quite eventuate. I think you saw a lot of scores, like 14, 15 players. If they had got their captain right, they were flying. But I know you did pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, 10:50-ish, I think. And that was a couple of absolute dud scores. I had Bradman Best absolutely stinking it up. One of my pod players luckily got the captain decision right with King Gutho.
The King.
The King, hail the King. And, jumped up to just a little bit outside of the top 3K. So held both the trades as well, which is crucial. So I've got 16 for the run home.
And importantly, stake bet, first of mine for the year against Lamy. So he had Mitch Moses 60+. I went under. Do you reckon I'd claim that? So Mitch Moses going off precautionarily?
Mate, claim it.
You reckon?
That guy doesn't deserve anything. Claim it.
All right, $2 stake at the Fox coming my way. Fantastic.
Bugger that. We got Ipswich Cup next week, weekend, mate.
A few UDLs. But yeah, in terms of trade outs for this week,
the rainbow.
It's a huge rage trade week because all these buy round players that we've had just for that very reason have stunk it up. And now they're just wasting money and time on our side. So I've got a fair few lined up over the next few weeks. Brian Kelly, Mitch Barnett, Charlie Staines, Jimmy Robertson, Billy Kickout. So yep. Absolutely none of them did their job in round 13. This Barnett's been falling for a
some
while.
Some serious race trades. I mean, when you put this list in front of me, I was like, there's not too many that I'm spewing over at the moment. It's probably the one that really stands out to me, of course, is Bradman Best. But 400K, And just what's his ownership at the moment? I'll jump in and have a look at that in the second. But just given the pod play there, I'm probably just going to hold on to him and keep him there as my fifth reserve. Knights have got a relatively okay draw to come, and then Ponga back. Just makes a huge difference. So I'll be holding on to him. Looking at the rest of my side now, not so much rage trades, but Mitch Barnett, I think, will be getting out. But I've got him and Nathan Brown, and I'm probably more reasonably comfortable to hold one of those for the run home just for depth. They won't play. If anything happens, I run out of trades or whatever, those guys should score 50 points. Who knows what's going to happen with the Knights going forward? And Brown's been chugging out between the 45 to 55 points pretty consistently. So those guys will be out eventually. And then the other person probably just to talk to briefly is just Connor Watson. So he's been one that's been a fantastic cash cow this year. People have been thinking round 14, get him straight out. But in reality, when you've got our boy Moni going down with an injury, he's out for a couple of weeks. What are we doing there at the hooking position? Like, is there any real need to be moving rage trading a Connor Watson? Or I think that he shapes as a perfect backup hooker potentially the rest of the season because he's scoring between 55 to 60 each week. Is hooking a position that you need to have two guns there this season?
No, you made a good point, actually. I don't say that often in your team's analysis. There's really not. I had nothing else to do on the bus, mate. I left my headphones. There's really not a lot of hooking options this year. We think about Damien Cook, and you also pointed out you can now downgrade Connor Watson to him. Who'd have thought that at the start of the year? But really, outside Jaden Brayley, he's done his job but not setting the world alight over the last month or so. There's no real need to trade him out, I don't think, because he's an X-factor player. And you look at him coming off the bench, he's still finding ways to inject himself. Once he gets out there,
Supercoach points magnet.
He does. And as soon as the Knights start to realise that, and between him and Mitch Barnett, that they're a much better side when those two are out there, then the better, all the better for them and for Supercoach. Yeah. So I think, and his dual, that's a big thing as well, 5'8". So Connor Watson, I'd be holding him around. On the off chance he starts getting 80-minute games at 5'8", whatever. Yep. Great news. But otherwise, if I was to look at, I've got a Brayley and Watson combination. Brayley's a bit more, seems very reliant recently anyway on attacking stats, junk time as well. So if I was to look at moving one of those players on, I'd be keeping around Connor Watson, decent price as he is, but I'd be moving Jaden Brayley on, probably getting a like for like with round 17 hooker, Reece Robson maybe. But again, like luxury trades, because I don't think there's an option in round 17 that everyone's going to want to jump on.
I agree with that. And he could also save a trade. So I think it's going to be quite important to have either a Watson or a Barnett or even one of those guys, a fifth centre wing just for the run home that you don't necessarily play in your 17. But there's going to be injuries, there's going to be people rested, and you're going to run out of trades. So not the worst option to add a little bit of depth. The other players for me that I'm looking to get out of my side this week are probably my two Tigers players on my side. So Adam Dewey. And also Dane Laurie as well. So a bit controversial on the Laurie side, and I'll touch then briefly on Dewey first. But a little bit of a rage for me given that brought him in, 5'8". I mean, he could have been averaging 85 for the season. The week after, shifted to the centres. Tigers are winning games. My thought was injured, but he's going to stay in the side. So with a break-even over 100 now, happy to move him on. We'll be bringing in Cody Walker this week for him, and I think that seems like a relatively straightforward trade. Making a bit of cash on that too, might I add. I think it's about 100K. So happy with that. And then Dane Laurie, look, I think he's almost maxed out in price, 523. He's not a top four centre wing. It's a lot of money to be carrying on the bench. They've got a really tough draw ahead. I can see his price going on the decline pretty heavily. And like I'm okay with you to hold him, but I'm probably going to stick with a Bradman Best as my fifth center wing, and then Laurie shifting out, much more of a pod to hold Best, and I think that's better for the run home.
Yeah, it's a pod, but I mean, I like Dane Laurie for the fact he's a fullback, and in this day and age, we see how valuable they are. They're favoured by the scorers.
Fullback, but he's only averaging 60 points per game this year, and the Tigers they've had a good run as well.
Yeah, I mean, the point about his draw is pretty valid. So Para, Storm, Souths, then your boys, the Bronx. That gets a little easier. But next three games, I mean, if you are going to trade him out, now's the week to do it.
Yep.
And we'll talk a little bit about it, but there's some teams with some really good runs coming up. So, I mean, the time is right if you do intend on moving Dane Laurie.
Yep.
I don't see that. I'd still see validity in holding him for the season. Like, I've got him and Nofo in there, and ideally I don't want to carry both of them for the rest of the season. But if I was to move on one, I don't know, I just haven't really liked Nofo so far this year. I feel like he's just not the same player that he once was, whereas Laurie, I can see potential there. And he, great matchup play as your fifth centre wing down the track once we've gunned up in there. Yep. But for now, I mean, I'm happy to sit him. For me, that's a luxury trade to move him on, but it's a, you know, pod move, as you said, 50-something percent.
Yeah, look, but I think we all need to, we're going to talk about some of the most traded in players this week, but there's probably a centre wing that everyone should be thinking about bringing in this week. And you're going to have to let someone drop out. And the other players that I've got there are around 17 covers, so it doesn't make too much sense. Let's move on to the most popular traded in and traded out players, starting with out. The second guy on the list there, Jermaine Asako, what has happened there? Bloody hell.
Yeah,
just that was a shocker.
Surprised to see so many people owned him. Like, I know he's goal kicking and whatever, but, and he's made actually 113K. So, I mean, not the worst option to start the year, but geez, yeah, that's the biggest no brainer trade I think you'll see of your life. He'll struggle to make it back.
Yeah, agree. So, that's an easy one. Charlie Staines, Mitch Barnett.
Rage.
So, I can't really disagree
Josh
too much.
Josh Schuster, number five. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a bit annoying. Like,
if you haven't traded him already, what are you doing?
You got to hold him. People probably seeing that team list and going trade, but he's going to be back. I think Carl Lawton is in the most traded in players, and that's a huge trap, I think, for me. Schuster will come straight into that second row position with four and back.
Yeah, Olok Atu, sorry for that pronunciation. He's the other second row there, and I think he's played starting role when Schuster was there as well. So I think Carl Lawton's just biding his time there. He'll go back to the bench, he's scored well, but I wouldn't be moving him in. That's a bit silly. And Josh Schuster, be a great value buy for if you don't already have him for round 17. I traded him. Now I'm looking at bringing him back in, hopefully.
Only available in the 5-8 position, though, is the issue. Yeah. If it was a second row as well, that'd be fantastic. And then the other ones, probably don't need to spend too much time on that. We've got Ferguson, Gamble, Simpkin and Watson. We've spoken to Watson. The one there that I would guarantee, just tell everybody, do not make the trade. Jerome Luai at 445K. You saw how well he played last night. Completely dominated Cleary, I thought. And he there's a big chance he's going to back up this week as well. So I'd be reversing that trade. I just think you got to ride it. He'll be good for the run home. I wouldn't be trading him out. What are your thoughts?
No, I'd agree. If you've got another spot in that 5-8th, a couple that you've got there that you can move for us, round 17 guy, I think it's a decent spot. You've got some good candidates there, the SJs, Cody Walkers. So I think if you can hold on to Jerome Lewin, you don't need to trade him. I think he'd be a great pod. It's the kind of guy, like, he's been so down in form. Like, I can understand the trade. But at 445K, you're selling him at a huge discount of what his potential is. Penrith are going to be a little knocked around over this bye period, but if you hold him for the run home, I think that's where your value will be. And that's a pod play, but at stage of the year, we're not going to have trades if you've sort of got that inside running. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand it, but as you said, he's going to play this week and in a round where, we've got some pretty doubtful players, that's a pretty handy option.
Yep, let's move to the most traded in players now. So the first two, Rabbitohs, there's a really good reason for that, and we're going to jump to it in our next segment. But Cody Walker and Alex Johnson, for me, they're my two trades in this week.
Yeah, and big one for Cody Walker is the fact that Jerome Luai, the guy we just spoke about, played so well. I think that casts doubt on whether Walker will actually get there at all. I could understand if Jerome had a bad game, Cody Walker's probably straight back in there, and that was a toss-up between the two. So great news for owners of Cody and potential owners as well, that Luai sort of, you'd think, cemented that spot.
And for me as well, just at that price, 533K, I just said, like, if you own a Burton, if you own a, not so much a Luai, the reasons being, but even a Tyson Gamble, it's what's the jump? It's only 300,000. So you do that, that's fine. Johnson, he's got that negative, or he's got that zero break even, which is soon going to become negative with a huge 150-point score in his three-round average, and that the draw ahead's very favourable, and we'll talk to that shortly. Third is Rabadi from the Broncos after one game, I think.
Two games. I actually thought it was one too, but last week, obviously, the couple of tries boosted his score up to the 80s, but now he's number 17, jersey 17. Like, I don't know, you've got Jordan Rickey in number 20, I think. I don't know what's happened there, but, Rickey had the inside running and Rabadi's...
You and I spoke about this 2 weeks ago when you were talking about your boy Lukey, but now is not the time to be bringing in cash cows.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't think so, especially not ones that are not going to play in round 17. So, obviously, Rabadi has already played. He's got a negative 50 break even, so he's going to make cash, but then you've got to make two trades.
Yeah, exactly. It's no point.
And also, yeah, just potential for AU nightmares if he's gone. He got 20 off the bench, I think, in his first game. So potential to do that as well. And just, you know, the cash will dry up very quickly.
There's traps all over these ins. And the next guy, Carl Lawton, very popular as well. I mean, he's hanging on to that second row spot because of Schuster being out, I think.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. He'll go back to the bench, maybe utility sort of role. He's played well. He's scored tries, I think, set some up. So he's done very, very well with his time out there. But, geez, yeah, it's not a good time to buy him.
So the next guy, Joseph Suaalii, he is obviously quite a been quite impressive, particularly in his most recent game. However, he's in the extended bench at the moment, so he'll only play if Tedesco's out.
Yeah, which is good news for 17. So I think if you need to make some cash and you're downgrading a rage show to Charlie Staines or whatever, he's probably a good candidate. So he's not going to play this week, but yeah, if he steps on the field, he's going to earn some cash. And also, Roosters, you know, in the bye week, I forget who they've got, but I think they've got the Dogs. So, I mean, that could be a bloodbath despite having all the outs. So Tedesco being out that game, Suaalii should slot in either at fullback, which would be great, or Manu goes there and he goes to centre. So either way, I think it's a relatively risk-free sort of buy.
Now, are we allowed to talk about this next guy on the list, or is this a SC playbook?
I believe it's play.
Des Creek's spoken about him, nobody else has. So, yep, sorry, that's what it is. Corey, Hutteri or Naira?
Yeah, well, we can't even say his name right. So
I thought that was pretty good.
Maybe no one knew what we were talking about. But no, Lakey and I, and Anton, when he got on the pod, all three of us had this guy.
Doesn't count, mate. Nobody else spoke about it.
Well, we're absolute amateurs. So yeah. Anyway.
Don't worry about us. We started a decade ago, champions.
It's the one buyer of the year I'm quite proud of. You picked him out when he was about 300K, nailed the starting spot. He's been one of the Raiders' best in a pretty tough period for them. Throwing offloads, busting tackles, like he's definitely definitely value out there. And so he's climbing up and up. So I'm surprised to see him only number six. I would have thought, you know, given the likes of Barnett sitting in your second row.
Well, there's lots of cheapies above, and I think this list will change quite a bit.
But, I mean, a guy that's 460K at the moment who's playing like a 550-plus and a possible keeper. So it's all conjecture, you know, he's got off-field issues and all that kind of stuff. The Raiders are a basket case. But, geez, I wouldn't be moving him on or cutting his minutes at this.
No, he's perfect for a bench second row. Now, given he's been brought in by over 2,000 teams when you pulled this list, what about my boy?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are we going to mention his name? Because I don't know. I thought we were going to keep it on the DL. I was so surprised not to see him on the most traded, given we're talking around second row forwards, potentially around the same price, are going to cover round 17.
Tom Gilbert?
No. Topanua is not in this list.
Again, who is Topanua?
Topanua.
There you go. We'll work. Satili, I believe.
Satili Topanua.
Yeah. I mean, fair shout. He's been talked about all year, fitting in that Boyd Cordner role, and no one knows where Cordner is.
So just going through the last, I brought him in for his game against the Broncos. But before that, round 7, 84, round 8, 72, round 10 against your boys, 27.
Oh, muscled up.
Too big. And then 11 Broncos, 90, Raiders, 95. Why isn't anybody talking about it?
Yeah. No, fair call. I think we've just been sort of avoiding him if you haven't already gone. I'm just hoping that Boyd Cordner comes back and he goes back to the bench, whatever. But even if he does, Crichton's going to play Origin, you'd imagine, if he can squeeze into that.
Right?
Well, it would be good if he didn't, but that's another issue. But yeah, I mean, Tupanua playing in the Rooster side, they've been down a little bit. The fact he's got those scores is pretty good. Shows they love spreading
Cordner's,
the ball.
Okay, I'm just putting it out there. Cordner's done.
Yeah.
Cordner's not playing again.
Jeez, not in this day and age, you wouldn't imagine. I know they're not giving him the rest for this reason, but it'd be a strange one to bring him back, particularly because of the speed of the game and all that sort of stuff now.
Yep.
Cordner, all that time off, aging body. Interesting one. But, yeah, what's his ownership? It's all about him.
His ownership is 9%. So he's still pod under 10%. But
he's priced
at 490K. So under 500, I think it's a great buy. And he's a definite keeper for the run home, playing in that Rooster side. And I think they're going to click at a certain point in time. I'm not going to talk about any of the other guys too much. Maybe Toe Harris is probably the one there. From later on. But let's, just conscious of time here, JT, we've got to run through and move on to the next section. And because we are going to cover a lot of these, rehash a lot of these players as well. Round 17 planning. So let's think about it. The first two topics that we're going to cover today, and then you and Lakey will go on a little bit further next week. But teams with the best run over the coming weeks, which is going to be very important on a couple of strategies that we're going to talk to after this as well. But the Rabbitohs, Sharks, Manly look to have the best run.
They do, yeah. Particularly the Rabbitohs. They've had a tough stretch against some of the better sides, but they can really take some of the lesser lot to the cleaners. So I think Bunnies, you know, they've got Wayne at the helm. They've got a fair few. They've got a stacked team. If you think about their run, they've got, who have they got this week? The Knights, who are, you know, a bit of a bust case. Your own boys, the Broncos, next week after that. Tigers at Leichhardt, 4 p.m. game. That could be an absolute blockbuster. And then the Cows in round 17. So we'll have a few out. Bunnies don't really have that much of a contingent, particularly if Cody Walker plays. So for them, you've got a few candidates in that side, if you think about it, like Koloa Matangi. He's not so much under the radar, but he's been a relatively pod buy over the last few weeks and just consistently churning out decent scores. Cody Walker, we've spoken to. I think that's almost a no-brainer at that price. But then guys around them, backline guys. So big one on this list, AJ. Alex Johnson. So I know you and I are quite high on him. I've actually traded him in this week, jumping the gun before. He has quite a large negative break even. So in that run, you would imagine he's crossing the stripe on a regular occurrence.
Well, absolutely. So I think it's just worth the punt. He's a perfect player just to lob as your, I'd say, as kind of your fourth centre wing. He's going to have the under 10 scores in there, but hopefully you've got another three guys that are going to have some consistent points producing. So pretty confident with him, and I think he's a player that you can potentially run with as a VC option as well.
Yeah.
And then importantly, why I like him as well, if you look at the South Shore round, they've got you boys in the bye week, but straight after that as well, which is going to be a very tough round 18, they've got the Bulldogs.
Yeah, so a couple of big weeks for them there. So if you can get enough bodies on the park in that side, Cardinal and Myrtle, then I think you're doing yourself a justice for Supercoach. And also the Bunnies tend to have a very good back end to the season over the last couple of years. Wayne Bennett's sides.
So, and their draw is relatively good. The important thing with him as well is that his price is going to go gangbusters over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I think now is
the time to get him.
Yeah, exactly right.
Cody Walker, outstanding value. We've spoken about him before, but if you don't own him, jump on him this week. The Knights are depleted. He could go 100 plus quite easily.
What about a name that's not round 17 relevant, but Damien Cook? We've spoken about him being downgrade. He's had one big game that sort of caught the eye. I forget who it was, Parramatta. And he scored a try there, was called out in the media leading up to the game, first time ever in his career that's happened. Quite enough in Origin, although he did have that break. So he looks relatively back in form. So could be an astute buy if you're not too concerned about having numbers.
I would be, 17. Yeah, if I had I was planning on making that move of AJ last week, but then reassessed things and kind of decided I was going to hang on to both Simonson and also Saab, given need numbers for round 17. So decided to hold on, and then Laurie will make way this week for AJ. If I wasn't doing that, Watson to Cook would definitely be on the cards.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, we'll wait and see with Cook, but, I mean, if he's a luxury trade at this stage of the year. I think if you're stacked for 17.
But just amazing value. It is pure arbitrage, and, like, you're just getting for 400K. There's zero risk to it. Absolutely not.
There is zero, but also you're sort of relying on, we're thinking back to the Cook of old, which judging by his first few months in this comp just isn't there. But who knows? Could be the confidence boost he needs coming out of Origin. Manly, probably a good team to go to next. So they've got a pretty good run. Obviously, Tommy Turbo is their heart and soul. Without him, they go to shit, whatever that might be. Like, he won't play in round 17, so, you know, they're going to be missing him. But, I mean, that leads me towards their forwards, and one in particular, Martin Taupau, you've got him on your list here. So I've actually brought him in this week. So I've turfed Mitch Barnett and got him in through Jules. So I was pretty happy with some of his stats here. Decently priced, 579K, only available front row, but a good option to have. But again, that run, they've got the Cows, Titans and Bulldogs before lining up against Canberra in the bye week.
So don't necessarily mean that a good run is going to help him, though, that much.
Well, I mean, some of those sides just love dropping off tackles. Like Cowboys love giving away a few offloads. So this week I expect much of the same. So he's a pretty good value buy for mine. Like looking at his last few scores, you got 69, Lel, 94, 67, 55. So not setting the world on fire, but not many front rowers are. So I think good number for round 17.
I mean, the issue with him, and I'm just trying to pull up to make sure that I'm not talking absolute crap here.
Oh,
but
no way.
He does tend to tail away over the end of his season. Whatever reason, I think Manly must tend to play the first bye relatively regularly because he tends to be a guy that I will look to bring into my side for that run home to cover the bye as well. And it's just been someone that's been quite disappointing. Like you've brought him in, he's been like a high 60s guy, and then he finishes the season averaging 50. If you look at last year, just have a look in the middle of the season, he was averaged 62, 64. That's over 2019, 2020. And then he finished it with a 60 average and a 59 average both years. So a dip, slight dip there. So I think he's well priced. I think past years you probably bring him in at a bit of a higher value. So not the worst yet.
No, 99 break even, so you don't have to get him this week. You can wait and see. But minutes are coming good. So 57, 51, 56. So normally he's a 40 odd minute player guy. So if he can bump that up, that's key for Marty Tapau's. Always his time on field. He always looks fresh, which is bizarre because you see him go to town, then they take him off for half an hour. Mm. And he's just, he's a frustrating one to own, but when he's on his day, it'll be great.
Plenty of offloads, all that kind of gear. Jason Saab, if you've held him, advice is just to hold at least till round 18 now.
Mate, we did it with Staines, might as well do it with Saab.
Yeah. And he's got more scoring possibility than Staines, given that playing within Turbo, we've seen the upside there. So a player that I'm happy to hold.
Yep, agreed. And then the final team, Sharks.
Sharkies, who have been really irrelevant this year.
They have, but they might just have turned a corner now with Josh Hannah at coach. It's taken a while to take the reins in, get control over it, but they look to have turned somewhat of a corner the last couple of weeks, a couple of good wins. So for them, they've got a decent run coming up. Outside of next week, or this week, I should say, with the Panthers, although depleted Panthers, as we've said, they've got the Cows after that up in Townsville. Then they've got the Broncos. Jeez, Cows and Broncos, we're doubling up. Broncos on a Sunday afternoon at Suncorp Stadium. SJ, welcome to town. Mm. And then you've got the Warriors in the bye week. So Warriors probably not too affected. But if you have a look, that's a pretty handy run, and there's some genuine options.
Yeah, look, there's three players there that probably just to touch on briefly. Here, the first one for me, a bit of a pod play at fullback is Will Kennedy.
Yep.
So 510K, player that I was watching, and as soon as he scored that four a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, well, he's going to be really juicily priced. Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but he's had two great games since then, 80 and 154 over the past 3 weeks. So since that 4 point score against the Panthers, he's been really consistent this year. I can see with SJ coming to the side with that run as well. And their run, just having a look at it too, I think it's one of the best you've got out of any of the sides.
Raiders and Dogs, post-bye round, Manly. So handy. They don't really play a genuine top four side until the Storm in the very last round of the year.
Yep.
The issue is, I guess, if you've, it's a pretty lucrative spot, fullback, and he's only available there. And you're probably not going to want to carry him right the way through the season.
No, there's no one else really. Like if you've got a Gutho, you could be potentially making the move this week if you want to, or next week for the Broncos game. Mm. Like that, to me, that I'll be looking potentially to do that, to shift him on for that game, maximising the value out. And then after that, I'd be then going, well, who's the best option for me to trade into for round 19 and then just get on Pappy or probably Turbo. And hopefully Kennedy can go on a bit of a run and also he can generate some points.
1% ownership. So huge risk, huge punt, but I mean, I don't mind it. It's like a Dufty play, think like that. No one was really that keen on him. I think 500-600 people got on him, but we saw what he did in a bye week against you guys. Like, could be the same for a Will Kennedy type.
Think I might do it next week, mate. Gutho to Kennedy just in time for the Broncos game.
Love it. Outside of him, SJ.
Yeah, break even 92, so probably can wait a week for the Broncos game.
Is that Kennedy?
For SJ, breaking down too.
Well, I think he's just finally clicking into gear. It's taken him a little while. Saw some glimpses that game against the Storm. I think in his first half he was quite good before they fell away. So he's shown some good signs there. I think he's settling in. I mean, interesting about them not offering him a contract next year. That might play on his mind.
Yeah.
But 71 last week against the last round he played against the Titans, he was very handy in that. A lot of goals. But I think he's a guy on his day and, you know, with the more time he spends on the park, kicking goals and all that sort of stuff, he can really rack up a score. So I don't think he's the SJ of old by any means. But what he does out there and the fact that they've got such a good run and he's dual, relatively well-priced around that 500K mark. So I think he's an option for over the coming weeks. I don't think you need to jump the gun too early. Maybe that Broncos game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a super trade week candidate for mine.
Just looking at that, again, look, I'm pretty, well, very, very tempted to make the double header of Gutho to Kennedy and then Burton to SJ next week. I mean, that mouth-watering. Although I was just looking at the Eels draw and they've got the Bulldogs in round 15.
Yeah, it's pretty handy run, isn't it? You'd imagine there's some points coming out of that. How about one of their backline players? You got him down here, Jesse Ramian. He's on my never again list just for last year.
Mate, he's been incredible this year. Just punching out the huge scores. I'm just going to pull up what he's done this year. But I think that he's got he's putting his name forward to being a keeper for the run home for centre wing.
Yeah, look at his game against the Titans. I mean, he scored one try and he got 124 points. And if you watch that game, it was the way he ran the ball. Like, he just took it upon himself. I don't know, maybe he's frustrated with some stop-start time to his NRL career, at least in this year. So he's finally gotten out there, daytime track, which the Sharks have a few of, and he just busted plenty of tackles. 16 runs, a couple line break assists, 2 line breaks, 4 offloads, 10 busts. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see out of a centre wing. And we know he can do it. Problem is just him keeping on the park.
Yep.
And, you know, the Sharks, they've got a decent halves pairing. Looks to be set now on Moylan and Johnson, and you got Kennedy at the back. So I think they're relatively undisrupted there, which helps these sort of outside backs as well. So Ramian, 510K premium kind of option, but a juicy one to have.
BE54, yeah. So no need to go crazy this week. Just looking back through his past scores, the really disappointing one there was against the Panthers in round 9. We've just spoken that Kennedy scored a 4. He scored 17. They got dusted 48-0 that game.
Just
got
to forget those sort of games. Good for keeping the average low.
Yeah, so I'm pretty keen on him. So they've got so who have they got this week, mate? They've got
Panthers.
And then they've got Cows, the Cows Bronx. And then the Broncos. Yeah. Right, so I got my games mixed up a little bit. We've got the Cows. You can probably sit on SJ and Kennedy and that, but bring one of them in next week.
Yep.
And then I'll be bringing 2 Sharks in for that Broncos game.
Yeah, geez. I mean, you're going to see a lot of maroon, a lot of green, a lot of blue in your sides coming up. I think good plays for round 17. And more so, maybe we get into now the strategies as we wrap the pot up. But loading up on round 17 players, if you've gone hard on round 13, it makes it very difficult to do. But, I mean, for you, are you now having one eye to the end of the season as opposed to just this guy will fill in for round 17, score well? And I think that is a Will Kennedy type of buy. I think that's not a long-term buy. I think you need a 2 gun fullbacks in the run.
He's a month buy with the hope of a few hundred point games in there. I think the great example is somebody like a Val Holmes who is clearly one of the top 4 centre wings. He's got a relatively low break even this week of 20. He's got round 14, 15, 16, 3 games before the buy. So you're going to get 3 scores of maybe an average of 70 over that period, or do you target somebody that, like, maybe not AJ is a great example, or someone else that's going to be covering that round 17 buy, but you're going to have to look to ship him out?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a Jesse Ramian if he doesn't kick on.
When I was looking at those scores, I'm like, well, why would I be trading in Holmes? Or could I just trade in Ramian?
Yep.
Produce the same and then covers round 17. So that potentially changes my thought process a little bit.
How about some Roosters as well? I mean, you've got a couple of guys there. We know they like to go on a run at the end of the year, but Daniel Tupou, not named in Origin. Joseph Manu, when he gets at fullback, he's good value, but outside of that, it can be relatively risky. But, I mean, they've got some handy players.
But Ikevalu that I traded in for the Broncos game as well and has gone like back-to-back 20s. So
yeah, not ideal.
Not ideal at all.
But, yeah, so for me, there's not a huge great deal of gun centre wings to load up on. So for that position, it's probably less of an issue bringing in guys specifically for the fact they play round 17, because by all rights, you could hold on to them for the rest of the year, play some on matchups, that kind of thing. It's mainly like your halves. Like, that's an interesting spot. Do you reckon you could hold SJ for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think so. I think looking at my halves at the moment, I'm going to be having I'll have Cody Walker, SJ, Hughes and Cleary.
Yep. I mean, that's almost four spots locked up in your side for the rest of the year. So you can't really then carry a huge number of high-value players in your second row, front row kind of thing. Interesting. I think for this season, though, we're going to need to have a lot of backup players for the run home.
Absolutely. So
I think
starting from this weekend.
Yeah, well, nothing out is normally the strategy. You should gear up for the run home. You just downgrade, get those prices locked in or that cash locked in, and then make some luxury trades. But we've seen so far just the unpredictability of this year, injuries, suspensions, sin binnings, like all of this stuff is just adding up to a pretty hectic year. So if you're only running with, you know, say 19, 20 players even, for the run home post round 17. Could be running into some strife, particularly if you don't have trades.
Well, people are going, I'm just looking at my side at the moment. I've just realised that Tino is not going to be playing, so I've had to shift Pangai into front row. That means I'm going to have to play Barnett, which is going to suck. And I'm sure there's some other teams that are going to be facing that similar thing. But you got Toro, you got Cleary that isn't going to play. You know, I'm going to be running with Watson as my in my 17 this week. I mean, that's what we're talking about, the depth. You've got to have it. This could be a sign of things to come.
Yeah. For me anyway, I'm 3,000th or whatever, 3,500th just behind you. So my strategy was go hard at round 13. Didn't quite work out, although I did get a nice little boost. But I think I'm now just going to go hell for leather at 17 as well, whatever I can do. Use all the trades at my disposal. I'm going to run out. It'll be like 8, I think, after round 17, which is almost less than one a round. So, you know, I could get into strife there, but it's the only way I'll crack the top 1K. So that, for me, is my strategy. If I was higher, I'd be playing it safe.
Now, we're going to wrap the pot up here. We're going to finish off with quick captain, but one thing I wanted to pose, and I think it's going to be maybe not a question for this week, but next week, but when do we trade out Nicho Hynes?
I was just about to ask. Well, he's also my captain this week, so that makes it a little bit difficult. But 900-odd K, and Ryan Pappenhausen, you'd think, on the horizon.
Next week has to be, right? Yeah.
And then Pappy might not even make it back into the Origin side, so given all the way that they tore us apart. So it's an interesting one. I think once Nicho goes back to the bench, he's basically a must sell at that price anyway. He may still come on and, you know, score well. Pappenhausen did the same. But for me, Nicho Hynes, at that price, you could downgrade to, you know, a 400 or 500K.
Well, Jesse Ramey, and why are you making 400K?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, what's he got this week? Break even of 114. So Bowler Rights could hit that
final week, mate.
Daytime game.
This is the Nicho Hynes farewell match.
It is. He has been just incredible, and it just shows how weird this season is. 540K.
It'd be very fitting to be trading him to a shark as well.
It would. There you go. Well, the future side. But no, for me, he's a captain this week and then a trade out possibly next week pending team list. Weird one, but that's the season. And then that bankrolls you for the rest of the year. We were talking about Nathan Cleary being a possible cash grab at a million, given he's likely to see some time off the field with Origin and the cheekbone and all that sort of thing. But Nicho Hynes, centre wing, like, Hart, absolutely ready to go.
So what are we looking at the games this week? It's quite a challenging captain week, yes. I reckon, because you've got the Raiders up against the Broncos and you've also got the Dragons up against the Bulldogs. So if you've got a Matt Dufty again, just roll him out again. Why not? Pot it up.
Yep.
With the Raiders, you've got a CHN potentially. That's pretty risky. So then looking outside of that, it's really, really challenging. I would be very tempted if Teddy was going to play to go him against the Titans.
Yeah,
I think that looks like a good move. And then you got Nicho Hynes up against the Warriors, which I think, given he's going to play fullback, that looks pretty safe. Gutho versus the Tigers, potentially another option.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of decent value options. Lamy, we need you, captain, man. But for me, I'm going, I think, Alex Johnson. I'll go him as vice-captain just for the potential. I always like going like a centre wing, someone that could score a lot of tries rather than a forward, and then going a little bit safer. I'm sort of leaning towards Nicho given that daytime game against the Warriors, a couple of good young fullbacks coming up against each other. Depending on how the round is shaping out, I might still take that punt. We'll go someone safer, maybe a Crichton, Madison. I'll try to work something out there, but for me, going pretty hard this week at that vice captaincy.
Let's go. So I reckon that's the way I'll probably be going. Nicho Hynes as captain, and then I'll be going Teddy as VC, I think.
Love it.
If he plays.
I love you still got Teddy. Huge play. I'm holding turbo, so kind of hoping it's so awkward. I don't want him to play at all against the Cowboys, but also would be great because it's turbo. He'll deliver.
All right. That's about it, mate. Let's lock and load. I think we've said what our trades are this week. I'm bringing in AJ and Cody Walker for Dane Laurie and also Adam Dewey. That could backfire on me, but I'm willing to get it done. What about you?
Marty Tapao in for Mitch Barnett and Alex Johnson in for Brian Kelly. See you later, Brian. Got two of the duds out, so I'm pretty happy with that. So that big month or so. So Lamy will be back with me next week. You might be still around if your team's still going well. We've heard a lot from you recently.
I might have to increase the percentage share of the revenue.
We'll tip you some winners at Ipswich Cup. Before we wrap up, obviously we'll rehash donateblood.com.au. Australia needs your support. A lot of blood shortages, so make sure you're getting out there if you can.
And if you're from Victoria, piss off.
Sorry to any of our three Melbourne listeners out there.
Yeah, get out of the state.
Love it. All right.
See you guys
next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.